Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
9 o'clock, open home hour. We talk about anything and everything you, the Arizona homeowner, want to cover about your home, castle, or cabin. We also bring you news and headlines about housing industry, about building practices, about national hardware shows, new things we've seen, new products on the market, new tools to use, new ways to enhance the things that we are doing. This is our 31st year of Rosie on the House, and founder of the radio broadcast, Rosie Romero, is not with us today. If you're new to the broadcast or waiting for an update, back in
October 17th,
he was in an off-roading accident, and he's in the recovery process from that. And you know, everything happens for a reason. And we found another reason for this accident. The tumor was found that otherwise probably would have gone unnoticed for who knows how long.
Yeah, so Rosie was in the ICU for a long time, and so he had a lot to recover from. That does some real damage. It saves you. It also costs you some. So he almost all the way through, actually all the way through all those things. But the day of the accident, the neurologist pointed out they found a tumor. So good news is
Took an accident to expand his life another time.
Yeah, and it's a one in a million. It probably wouldn't have been found till it did some damage. So it's been removed this past week, and he's just doing fabulous. He said yesterday it was the best he'd felt since the accident. So looking forward to having him back and onward and upward.
Yeah. And he is, I understand, even was awake this morning, which is, he's always been an early bird since the accident. He hasn't been, but he was awake when you left this morning?
Had his little transistor radio on the back porch.
All right. Well, get better, Dad. We'll look forward to having you back on the broadcast.
Absolutely.
Shortly, some of the things that I've had to take over is I'm the old guy with the paper now in the office. Dad would always stand there, go through the paper every day, and I've been the old guy with the paper. And a couple of things that I've noticed this week, Farm Belt floods adds to crop woes. Missouri battles tornadoes, and then I just came in from the newsroom, and the Missouri Capitol is flooding right now. All of these instances, I don't know how you track, but every time something like that happens, we see an increased population to Arizona.
Yeah, from every direction, California has its share, and then now the Midwest is really suffering. The Mississippi River is absolutely swollen and overflowing. It's pretty phenomenal. Too bad we can't just kind of pipeline some of that water this way.
And I still know people that came here from Katrina after it hit 04. Was that 04 or 05?
05.
05. Still here today from New Orleans that just moved it. It'd be interesting to see and track Arizona's population growth as it relayed to natural disasters in other parts of the country.
If you missed our 7 o'clock hour, we had Barbara Hatch of the Veterans Heritage Project. And she actually is a transplant from Hawaii because after Hugo, they came stateside and landed in Arizona, and she loves it here. So we've gained a lot of good citizens through that process.
And you have to be a good citizen of Arizona. We had the wettest winter we've ever had, which leads to probably one of the what could potentially be one of the biggest fire alert seasons. All that moisture creates growth and brush. And there's a fire burning right now, the Dove Fire, not far from my house. You can actually I got pictures driving home yesterday off the 303 and off of Grand. Which is two reasons I'm not worried about it, because it would take a lot for that fire to jump Grand, and then it would have to get south of Patton. So I'm not worried about our house because we've got those major roads that'll be as a fire break. But last I saw, it was only like 15% contained and 1,000 acres just like that since yesterday afternoon. So you've got to be
careful,
a steward,
mindful. Because there's no restrictions this weekend,
which is
kind of amazing to me, because with the fires on the side of the road. But just be careful about throwing cigarettes or whatever out the road. And also chains dragging will cause sparks.
And what do they say? That's the necessity of invention.
What's that word?
I can't remember.
Come on, Gary.
I was asking you. I was hoping. Out of fires comes inventions like this. The Super Soaker. Did you see this? Largest, fastest squirt gun. It is a 747 that was retrofit to dump 19,000 gallons in just 6 seconds as low as 200 feet above ground level, and only takes 13 minutes to refill, where in the past other planes would take 30 minutes to refill. It's been deployed in Israel. It's been deployed in Chile. And if you can afford the $250,000 a day to hire them and you need a fire put out, great resource if you have the means.
It's necessity is the mother.
Necessity. You were throwing there it is.
You threw me off because the first part was the last part, and I'm like,
it came. I just tell you, I'd never be able to earn $2 million on Jeopardy like the current winner.
Gosh.
Can't think fast enough. It takes, I got to find it in the Rolodex. Also, there's, speaking of those big planes, did you see that we have two of the big DC-10s here at Mesa Gateway Airport? There's 27 in the country. And there's two of them that they've parked here because they assume we're going to need them. But they hold enough water to dump a pool. It's like a pool's worth, 20,000 gallons. So we have protection waiting.
A couple different options to help our guys on the ground. The first thing that stuck out in my mind on the 747 is you're going to have to, and it said it later in the article, a plane goes ahead and scouts out the path. Because those aren't exactly, like, nimble. You've got to get lined out pretty accurately, I would think. And that does send a scout plane ahead to get you lined out on your path and when and where to drop.
Sounds like we're in good hands.
Yeah. Now, if you enjoy a fire, but you don't enjoy the cutting and the kindling, and the smell of fire, there's something new that came out called the hearth cabinet. I think this is great for mountain folks or people that have a cabin and still enjoy the sound and feel of a real fire. It is ventless fireplace, freestanding, doesn't require fuel, gas, electricity, or chimney, and can be put in anywhere. All you do is you drop in the safety gel cartridges, enjoy the crackle and warmth of a real flame.
Warmth, too. Okay. Yeah. I was beginning to wonder if it got warm.
That's hearthcabinet.com, and this is still chilly enough in the mountains that you got a mountain cabin, bring that up there with you, and not have to worry about getting up there and immediately start chopping, unless you've got, you know, teenage boys that need the life lesson, and send them out
chop
there and
away.
Chop. Had a great trip this week. Just before Rosie's accident, he joined us live at the tour of Palo Verde Nuclear Power Plant. Twice a year, they refurbish one of the three generation towers. And we got to go inside the concrete dome and see them, you know, replenishing the fuel source and getting it ready. You know, they do it in the fall and in the spring. So every 18 months, one of the generation plants is down and gets rebuilt, and it's an absolutely amazing tour. And what's more interesting about it is the amount of water it takes. A nuclear power plant is the same as any other coal or natural gas. All they're doing is steaming water, and the steam spins the turbine that generates the electricity. So a nuclear power plant is just using uranium to steam instead of coal or natural gas. And the size of uranium, they've got, so that was the plant back in October, the tour, and we got a tour of it there. Well, this time we went and visited the water resource department for Palo Verde that supplies that water. And it shows at the Learning Center, which is on Verado, just south of 10, the APS Learning Center. Now, you have to make an appointment to go there, but you can see this example that I'm going to share. If you just pull into the parking lot and go up to the front door, you'll see a big black rock. Well, that's a chunk of coal. You'll see 5 55-gallon barrels of oil. And then you'll see a little plaque that has a uranium tablet that's about the size of a .22 bullet. And it represents this amount of uranium is equivalent to this amount of coal, is equivalent to this amount of gas. And this is what it takes to power the average home for a year. So you can go physically see just the comparison of natural resources that are used from coal to gas to uranium. And all the water that's used. So there's a couple things that it does. You've got the steamed water that spins the turbines. Then you've got water that cools that in these chilling towers to keep the nuclear reaction cool. It's done underwater, and it's like 2,000 degrees in the middle. And by the time it gets to the outside, it's done like 500. But you've got to recirculate water this whole time to keep it cool. And most of that water, it's Palo Verde is the only nuclear power plant that's not on a body of water. All the other ones are located next to a lake, next to a river, someplace that they've got this abundant amount of water supply. So where does all the water from Palo Verde come from to keep it cool?
I have no idea.
Your microphone's not on for some reason. You have no idea?
No idea. Canal? Yeah,
where does it come from?
Where does it come from? If you heard the initial coverage of our tour, we answered it there. But where does it come from?
It's not reclamated, is it?
It is.
Ah.
From Phoenix, Glendale, Scottsdale, Tempe, Mesa, and Tolleson. There's a water purification plant at 91st Avenue that pumps 36 miles to nuclear power plant, 10 billion gallons of water a year. When all three of those towers are going, they need up to 50,000 gallons of water per minute when all three generating stations are going top speed during the summer.
So is that water reused over and over and over again, or once it's used, reclamated, it's done?
Once it hits Palo Verde, they reuse it 15 times before it goes out to the evaporation ponds.
That's great.
It's an amazing process to see, and it's one of the largest water. So you've got the water that comes from this 91st Avenue Center. Well, they also have their own purification process they do there because the cooling water has a different standard than the steam water. You know, that steam water, you don't want any minerals in there. You don't want it. It's so pure, they say, you couldn't drink it. It would suck the minerals out of your body if you drank it, but they need it that pure because all those minerals help keep the turbines running. You know, the lack of minerals help those turbines running. Wow. Absolutely fascinating. We're going to have updated an additional blog to post about that trip. And then next week we're going to the, they've got so many acronyms. Where is it? The DOC, Distribution Operations Center, that is their location where they say, okay, this power line needs this many kilowatts down this one, and we've got to send this many kilowatts, okay, down power. All right, redirect some of this energy over to Texas or send this energy to California. And it's where they manage that operation load because when it hits the end of the distribution lines, it's done, and they want to make sure that all the energy they're producing gets consumed. It's, you know, why create energy that's just going to hit the end of the distribution line and disperse into the grounding? That's a waste. So we get to go see the operations center where they make all those decisions on where to convert. We're very excited. We'll have a third post about that and have that updated. I don't know if it'll be by next week, but within the next week or two after that. Really, really a lot of fun. But if you're in the car buying to-dos on your list this weekend, Sanderson Ford's 64th Anniversary Memorial Day sale is happening now at Sanderson Ford. They opened up at 8 o'clock. The lot's open. You have 64 acres of cars to go browse and find the right Sanderson Ford for you. That's 51st Avenue south of Glendale at Maryland, and they've got a newly remodeled showroom. There's no pressure sales. You're not going to have to worry about pulling up on the lot and having 10 sales reps fighting to come to you first. You're not going to have to worry about turning your vehicle over to the dealership to do a trade-in evaluation and worry about not getting that back. Some dealerships, you know, they will have a manager that makes a decision on whether or not to give that car back based on their ability to think that sell this person that time. Not going to have to worry about it. They'll give you a fair trade-in. Or you can even just shop online and then go pick it up later today. Sanderson Ford.